Welcome to the Words of Life with God's servant Pastor Obed Joy Obin. Get set for a life-transforming word right from the ovens of heaven.
Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter number 8 verse 17. I love what the scripture says in Proverbs chapter number 8 verse 17. It says that I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Wow. How many of you are here for the first service? Hallelujah. You see, there is something about early in scripture. You know, God visits his people early in the morning. So I'm not surprised that this morning the Lord is visiting you. Is somebody here with me? He said, I love them. This is the word of God. I love them that love me. How would God know that you love him? When you seek him early. I pray that this service becomes the service that God has blessed. And as many that are connecting with this service, whether on Facebook, wherever you may be at this point in time, may you receive the early blessings of God. May the first blessings hit you this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, give the Lord another clap offering. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for this week. Beginning from today is Palm Sunday, and we are so excited and blessed. We bless God for it. I believe that today or throughout this week, if you are a friend of Jesus, you don't need to bother him because Jesus is setting out to die. I mean, there's one thing to die. We know that everybody will die. How many of you know you will die one day? Are you sure about that? Yes, but how many of you know that you will die this week? No. But come to know that you will die this week brings certain kind of feeling. Is there anybody who has ever thought of that before? But Jesus knew that this week he was going to die. And I believe that it wasn't easy for him. He knowing the kind of death that he was going to die. Is somebody here with me? So if you're a friend of Jesus, you don't need to bother him. Don't come and play around me. I'm going to die. You don't know what it means to die. And even die on the cross. Is somebody here with me? So this week is a very serious week for everyone in the Christendom. It is a week where, we are reminiscing and also reminding ourselves of the great journey that Jesus had to take. Into Jerusalem to conquer the world, for God, his Father. Is somebody here with me? Is somebody here? No, you are not. I said, is somebody alive? So we are here to celebrate it as such, and we are here to thank God for such a great redemption that he has given us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are so blessed to have Jesus, dying for us. And it is Hosanna Day. On this day, the Bible says that the women laid their cloth on the ground, and they got palm branches and palm leaves, and then they started singing, Hosanna, Hosanna is the highest. Oh, the Bible said that blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I don't know about you, but you can use your life as a branch, a palm branch, and tell him that, Father, Hosanna is the highest. This day, I'm as weak as this branch in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift up your voice, open your mouth, and bless him. Let's celebrate the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Today, as we mark the celebration of the triumphant entry of Jesus. Come on, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. I wish I can hear you. I wish I can hear you. Come on, celebrate Jesus. You want to join the women and the people who had lined up on the streets and were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the highest. Blessed is the most high God. First John chapter number 3, verse number 1 is our scripture for the month. First John chapter number 3, verse number 1. We all stand and read in concert. First John chapter 3, verse 1. Let's go. Behold. Somebody's not ready. Tell me, Pastor, wait for me. Who is ready here? Is somebody ready? No. I still feel there are people who doesn't want to talk. Who is ready this morning? Is somebody here?
Yes.
Good. Now let's go. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth not, because it knew him not. Throughout this month, we're looking at the subject, what manner of love is this? What manner of love is the same kind of love that God had for us, that Jesus on this day had to be set on a journey to enter into Jerusalem for the last time. You know, Jesus made a lot of journey in and out of Jerusalem during his time on earth. But for this particular one, I believe that it was such a glorious one to the extent that he was entering Jerusalem once to conquer the world. And never again will the world be the same. We are speaking on the subject, what manner of love, part 2A. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this morning. We believe that we have gathered here not to only sing, nor dance, nor excite our egos, but we have come that our spiritual ears will be open, and our spiritual eyes, oh God, will be able to see and know that which you have for us. There is no way that our people can be blessed if you don't speak. Spirit of God, I yield myself as a member unto you, that you would use me like never before. Speak your word, articulate, and let your word come forth without blemish, so that your people will be able to receive. In the name of Jesus, prepare our hearts, oh God. Prepare our hearts as we receive your word. Spirit of God, go ahead. In Jesus, the blessed name. Let everybody shout a big amen. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Tell somebody, I am ready for God's word. We're talking basically about love. What manner of love is this? What manner of love is this? What manner of love? I believe many of you have heard about love. There are so many kinds of love. And the Bible has one central theme, that is love. From Genesis to Revelation, there's one particular word that runs through, that is love. Tell somebody, love. But we know from the scriptures that God is love and love is God. In 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 8 and 16. 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 8 and 16. Verse number 8 and 16. He says that he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Amen. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse 16 says that, and we have known and believed the love that God had to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Somebody is blessed. We understand also from John chapter number 15, verse number 9. John chapter 15, verse number 9. That God is the source, the only source of love. God is the only source of love. Now, Jesus in his teaching said that as the phrase as the Father, give us understanding that God is the only source of love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. So God is the source of love. Tell somebody, God is the source of love. We see love as the very essence of who God is. In that case, that God cannot be separated from himself. In that case, that love is God and God is love. And God does not give love, but he is love. Therefore, you cannot separate love from God. Love actually is God. Is somebody following me? And God's love is demonstrated through many ways. We see the love of God demonstrated through his power. His power. When you see the power of God at work, it is the demonstration of God's love. When you see God's faithfulness, it is the demonstration of God's love. When you see God's grace at work, it is the demonstration of God's love. When you see his mercies, the Bible says that morning by morning, new mercies we see, it is the demonstration of God's love. So God is love, and he demonstrates his love through other means, like his power, his presence, his mercies, and his grace, and his faithfulness, etc., etc. Amen. Now, we must understand that because God is love, love exists with God. And when I talk about God, I will be talking about the plural God, which the Bible or the Hebrew calls the Elohim. The Elohim is the Godhead that comprises of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Is somebody understanding me? So when I talk about God, love, God is love, I'm also talking about the love or the affection that existed between the Godhead, which means that there is a love that already existed between God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. It means that the Godhead already enjoys relationship based on the love that exists between them. They enjoy fellowshipping with one another based on the love that existed between them. Is somebody understanding me? So there is a love that exists between the Godhead. God is in relationship with God. Tell somebody, God is in relationship with God. How do I know this? Because when Jesus came down on earth, he made it expressly clear in John chapter 14, verse number 31. John 14, verse number 31. The Bible makes it clear. Jesus said that, but that the world may know that I love the Father. Now, Jesus, who is God the Son, is speaking about God the Father. And he says that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. You know, arise, let us go thence. And then you must also understand in John chapter 3, verse 35. John chapter 3, verse 35. John chapter 3, verse 35. John chapter 3, verse 35 says that the Father loveth the Son and had given all things into his hands. So we understand from the scriptures that there is a love that existed between the Godhead. And the Bible has made it clear between God the Father and the Son. God the Father loves the Son to the extent that he has given him all things. And the Son also loved the Father. And therefore he obeyed his commandments. And he could not do anything than what the Father was telling him to do. And scriptures also makes us to understand that Jesus loved the Holy Spirit with all his strength. You know, Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit more, even in the gospel according to Saint John. He gave an expression of the intimacy that existed between him and the Holy Spirit. He said that he is more like him. He is more like him. He said, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will send down, the Father will send down the Holy Spirit, another comforter, another, so same like him. Is somebody here with me? So if there is a relationship of love and fellowship between the Godhead. Now, the reason why I'm telling you all this for you to understand that God cannot love Jesus than he loves you. Oh my God, you don't understand that. You must come to understand that the same intensity of love that God has for Jesus is the same intensity he loves you. Oh my God, can I push it again? The level of love that God has for his son, Jesus Christ, is not different from the love that he has for you. The same way he loved Jesus is the same way he loves you. So he says that, behold, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us? In other words, Jesus is loved by his Father, so we are also loved by the Father God. Somebody is blessed here. That means that you are most privileged. I didn't hear any amen on that. Shout, I am most privileged. God's love you the way he loved Jesus. The love that he has for him was not a halfway love. It was a true love. It was a deep love. It was a love that cannot be explained. In the same way that he also loves you. And I believe that today you will experience the love of God like never before. God can never love in a way different from who he is. Is somebody here with me? Now, I just want us to look at the characteristics of God's love. The characteristics of God's love. This is very important. And I want you to take note of that. The characteristics of God's love. I just want to give some few in this service. And then we'll continue at the second service. What are the characteristics of God's love? Number one, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 19. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 19. It says that, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. We understand that the love of God is full. The love of God is full. It is not half love. Amen. You know, there are love that are halves. So when somebody tells you he loves you, at the back of his mind, he has some kind of reservation. There are certain things he cannot do for you, even though he says he loves you. Is somebody here with me? But we are talking about the love of God that is full. Is somebody here with me? He said that to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be what? Filled with all the fullness of God. So the love of God is full. Tell somebody the love of God is full. Again, the love of God never diminishes nor grows. It doesn't grow, neither does it diminish. The love of God is constant. It is always available. It doesn't grow, nor it doesn't diminish. There's no point to say, the love I have for you has diminished. No. There's no way it can be recorded like that. The love of God is always, it's always there. Again, the love of God cannot be measured. It cannot be measured. It cannot be measured. You cannot measure the love of God. It cannot be measured. It is so high that you can't get over it. And it is so low that you can't get under it. It is so wide that you cannot get even around it. The love of God cannot be measured. Is somebody here with me? Again, the love of God is unquenchable. It's unquenchable. Solomon, the Songs of Solomon chapter 8 verse number 7 says that many waters cannot quench love. Many waters cannot quench love. Is somebody here with me? So the love of God is unquenchable. Somebody is blessed. Can I push last one? Jeremiah chapter 3 verse number 3. The love of God is everlasting. It's eternal. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse number 3. It is everlasting. 31, 3, not 3. Good. It said that the Lord had appeared of old. The Lord had appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Amen. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Somebody is blessed. Hallelujah. So we must understand that based on this, the purpose of God for bringing Jesus unto us was to recreate a new breed of people, a generation of species whom he would fill with his love. The reason why you and I were created is that there would be a kind of people, a generation who will be filled, who will receive the love of God and be able to also give it out. So we are receivers of the love of God, and we are also the givers of love. Is somebody here with me? So the reason why you and I were created is to know God by participating in the love of God. The reason why you are born again, the scripture makes us to understand that behold the manner of love that God has bestowed upon us. The reason why he has bestowed such a love upon you is for you to be able to come into participation, to be able to come into receiving God's love, and also not just receive, but also be able to also exhibit or show that love back to him and even to others. Is somebody following me? Now, the book, 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 10. 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 10. Makes us to understand this. Give me 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 10. It says that hearing is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for us. Now, take note of this. Take note of this. This is very important and this is very deep. I want you to write it if you are there. We love God because we know him. We love God because we know him. We don't love God. We don't love God to know him. Listen, we don't love God to know him. But we love God because we know him. The knowledge of him makes you love him. You don't know him to love him. You can't know God and love him. Is somebody understanding the difference? But we love him because we know him. Your knowledge of God brings you into the participation of his love. The love that existed between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Push somebody and say, Pastor is preaching. Is somebody here with me? So we must understand that the knowledge we have with God is what brings us into the participation of the love. Everyone that is created because there's a joy of love that compels God to create us to become like who he is. And God can't make us different from his nature and his love. Is somebody understanding me? We must understand from the scriptures that God focused on us in order to shower his love over our life so that we will be filled with the love of God. We will be filled with the love of God. In being filled with the love of God, we come to appreciate who God is. And we love him more as we get to know more of him. Is somebody here with me? So in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says that, behold, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us. Now, the word behold means look. To behold means look. To look at someone or to look at something. Behold, what manner of love. So if you want to see how much God loves you, he said, look at Jesus. Is somebody following me? If you want to know how much God loves you, He said, look at Jesus. He said, behold, what manner of love that the Father has what? Bestowed upon us. So we see Jesus as the measure of God's love. The way God loved Jesus is the way he loves you. Your amen is weak. Is somebody following me this morning? So we must come to appreciate the fact that Jesus was loved by God, and for that matter, we are also loved. He said, behold, what manner of love. And what is the love of God here? What made God to give out Jesus as expression of his love? And that is what we talked about last week, as the love of God by bringing Jesus is a love of sacrifice. It's a love of what? Sacrifice. It's a love of sacrifice. Now, sacrifice is the number one expression of love. Sacrifice is the number one expression of love. If you want to tell me how much you love me, you must be able to tell me how much you are willing to sacrifice for me. Or you must be able to tell me how much you are willing to let go of something because of me. Something that is so precious, something that is so much important to you. Sacrifice is the expression of love. And here, how do we define sacrifice? For those of you who were here last week, Sunday, how do we define sacrifice? This is very important. How do we define sacrifice? How do we define sacrifice? Sacrifice means giving what is precious in your life for the sake of God and for the sake of his kingdom. Sacrifice is giving what is precious in your life for the sake of God and for the sake of his kingdom. This is very important. It is also inconveniencing yourself for the sake of God and for the sake of his kingdom. Letting go something. God loves us so much that he had to sacrifice his only son. Now, let me tell you a story. And mommy, this is the story I had wanted to tell you the day I visited you at home. There is a story of a contribution that people that like, I mean, in the world of Animal Farm, they wanted to contribute, like a church like this, we needed to contribute. And the contribution was such that everybody must give something out of his body. Must give something out of his body. Is somebody here with me? Then there came a hen. A hen says, okay, if we are giving something out of our body, then I'm supposed to give X. And that was so easy for him to give X. Now, there came a pig. Now, pig is supposed to give ham for beggars. You understand? And if he has to give ham for beggars, it means he has to be killed. So, to the hen, it is just a mere giving. But to the pig, it is a sacrifice. He has to die in order for something to come out. Now, God didn't have many sons. Remember, he had his only begotten son. According to John chapter number 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his what? Only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have what? Everlasting. Now, God had to sacrifice his only son just for you. Is somebody here with me? It's not that, oh, when I give out one, I'll have another one. Or let me just, you know, there are people in church, they are willing to give because they have more. But there are some, it is their last penny, it is the only thing that they will live on, but yet they give. That is sacrificing. Inconveniencing yourself for the sake of the kingdom of God. Is somebody here with me? That is sacrifice. And the question is, are you willing and ready to sacrifice like Jesus sacrificed? Why is it important for me to know that God loves me? This is very important. Let me push this before the time is over. Why is it important to know, or how do I need to know how the Father feels towards me? How do I need to know how the Father feels towards me? How do I know that God loves me? In other words, number one, when I know that God loves me, it will change who I am. It will change who I am. Many of you cannot come into reality and cannot come to understand how much God loves you. That is why you've not changed. If you are to know what has gone in for you to be seated here, for you to be saved, that alone must change your life. If you compare yourself with those you began with, those you started school with, and the level by which God has brought you, and when you cast your eyes back and you see how they've been wallowing with alcoholism and how they've been affected one way or the other, some way, somehow, you know that God has brought you through. And the moment you appreciate where God brought you from, it brings some kind of humility into your spirit, and you begin to appreciate that God loves me. When you look at the situation where you find yourself before you met Jesus, the kind of life that you were living, do you know that there are people who wish to be coming to Sunday service like this, but they cannot make it. No matter how hard they try, they can't make it. There's so much difficulty, frustration over their lives. And casting back, you sitting, you know, sometimes they look at you and say, how are you making it? How are you, making it in this life to the extent that it looks like everything is going on well for you? It is an indication of the love of God over your life. Amen. Once you know that God loves you, it changes who you are. The person who doesn't know the love of God does anything anyhow. Because the person doesn't know what has gone in for him to be where he is and for him to be seated here this morning. God loves you. You are most privileged this morning. Number two, knowing the love of God, knowing the love of God for my life will change the way I also relate with other people. It will change the way I relate with other people. My first marriage sermon I preached was a very powerful sermon, and it talked about grace. When I started preaching that message, people were like, Pastor, but this is a wedding ceremony. And I know there are a lot of thoughts going through the minds of many. Maybe you should be teaching the two shall be one and all that. But I started preaching about grace. How Paul expressly was telling us about the grace of God, how we have been given it freely, and therefore we must also give it out freely. Then I came to a point where I'm expressing the fact that even between couples, sometimes we forget the grace we have received. Therefore, when somebody steps, one person steps on the other one's toes, the other find it so much difficult to forgive. Meanwhile, you should know the kind of situation and the kind of sins you used to do, the troubles and the things that you brought yourself, that mercy found you and grace located you. And if somebody should do just a list of the things you used to do, you are finding it difficult to forgive that person. And that is, you see, people don't understand grace. The best expression of grace is to show it to others. If you know you have been in grace, you would also show it to others. Is somebody here with me? The way you don't treat people right, the way you look down on people, and the way you frown on people, the way your lifestyle is an indication that you don't understand the love of God. Your relationship with others tells me how much you love God. The second commandment said that love your neighbor as yourself. Is somebody here with me? So you must understand that if I say I love you, it must show in the love I know God have for me. It is the love that I receive from God is the same love I give out. If I don't love you, it means I don't understand the love of God. If I don't treat you right, it means I don't understand the word of God, the love of God. If I look down on you, it means I don't understand and know the love of God. Actually, I don't have it. The way I express myself to you should tell you that I have love. You see, confused people, or people who bring confusion, are confused themselves. Oh, come on. Can I push this again? People who bring out confusion are confused themselves. There's confusion already in their heart. It's what is within them that actually what comes out. If somebody always bringing trouble, it means that they are trouble people themselves. Wherever you find yourself, then there is chaos. You think people don't love you. Ask yourself, what love are you showing? Is somebody here with me? So knowing the love of God would change the way I relate with people. From today, look out for those people in the church. The moment they start doing that, tell them you don't have the love of God in you. Don't close your eyes on me. It's too early to sleep. Those of you sleeping, you don't have the love of God one bit. It's true. Pastor, I've prepared a message and shared it with you, and then you are sleeping. It means you don't have what? Yes. Now let's see those who have the love of God. Somebody's blessed. Come on, give the Lord a mighty shout. Hallelujah. Now, if we understand this, that love is expressed through sacrifice. Love is expressed through sacrifice. Then what area in our life should we sacrifice, especially in this season, that we are remembering and celebrating the love of God for our lives? He said, behold, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us that we are to be called sons of God? Let me tell you something. Eternal life is not about a head knowledge or an experience where you miss hell. Listen to me. To have eternal life, it's not to know something about God, but it is an experience where you come to share with the love of God. It is not only to miss heaven. If you are saved because you think you have missed heaven, then there are many things you are also going to miss here on earth. Because for dying, you will die and you go to heaven. But for you to come to receive from God, you must come to acknowledge and experience and also share the love of God. The love we receive is the love we share. If you don't have love received, you don't have love what? Shared. Somebody's blessed. So what area in our lives is God expecting us to express our love? Remember, the expression of love is to sacrifice. One area we need to sacrifice is the area of harvesting of souls. Harvesting of souls. Harvesting of souls. Harvesting of what? Souls. Somebody is blessed. We saw an example in God. When the whole world was in chaos, the whole world was in confusion, when the devil has taken over and is ruling and doing all that he wanted to do, God sat up there and said that, no, I will not allow my handmaid, my hand creation, to be tormented and to be destroyed. Therefore, I will go down and rescue my people. from the hands of the enemy. I will go down and deliver them. I will go down and save them from the destruction that is coming upon the world. Is somebody here with me? So God, in his love, expressed it through the winning of the world for himself. God is also calling us, those who are beneficiaries of the love of God, to also express that love through the harvesting of souls, or by winning souls unto the kingdom of God. That is the best way to express God's love. God, the love of God was shown by giving Jesus to seek and to save that which was lost. The reason why today many churches will be doing Hosanna. Hosanna is the highest. Hosanna. And they'll be walking through the street, is the fact that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Apart from that, there is no agenda. There is no mission. So the greatest love was expressed by winning souls, by winning souls, by winning souls. And if we also are beneficiaries of this love, then we must be willing and be ready to also win souls for God. Listen, what touches the heart of God is not you nicely dressed, pleasantly seated, makeup, and high-heeled in the presence of God. God doesn't have any interest. That's why the days of old, they didn't bother about these things. When for them, even poverty was the mark of what? Righteousness and then godliness. Amen. Because the only thing that matters to God is the winning of what? Souls. That is the reason why Jesus came. Is somebody here with me? Why is the soul winning so much important, and it is the heartbeat of God? Why? Why is it the heartbeat of God? Number one, Joel chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Why is sowing in the heartbeat of God? It is the heart of God. I've already explained further. But then he says, put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is what? Great. There is so much wickedness in this world. He said, their wickedness is great. Now go to 14. He says, now everybody read with me. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Listen. The reason why soul winning is the heartbeat of God. Harvesting of souls is the only way that you too can express the love of God. He said that not just thousands, not just millions. This is multitudes. Multitudes are uncountable number of people. Multitudes are in the valley of decision. The valley of decision is a frustrated life. The valley of decision is a point in life where they are torn as to what to do. There's nothing working for them. Everything, their life has turned upside down. In fact, they are waiting for judgment. They are waiting for judgment. The valley of decision, the Bible talks about earlier on when he talked about wickedness has filled the earth. He said that multitude are in the valley of what? Decisions. Beloved, there are many who are seeking a way out of their valley life. The kind of situation they are in, they don't like it. But they don't have anybody to tell them that Jesus loves you. I have the love of God, and therefore I share with you. There is hope for you, my brother. There's hope for you, my sister. You can come out of your situation. I don't want you to die in this valley of decision. Go
God loves you. He saved me. Just as he saved me, he can also save you. God is looking for a people, a creation, a new breed of people who will step out there with the love that they have received. Get into the valley. Get into the highways. Get into the corners of the streets and tell people, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. He loves me. And now my life is changed. And he can change your life as well. That is the love of God. And that is the heartbeat of God. Is somebody here with me? Your amen is weak. Amen. Let me tell you, if you are a nice looking, gentle looking, and have makeup all hair around, the slay queens and the slay daughters in the house, I want you to know that that is not what Jesus is looking for. Jesus is looking that the love you have received will not sit in your hair. It will not sit in the way you dress. Is somebody here with me? The young guys here. The love you have received will not be sitting in the fact that you can boast of anything, best of cars and best of anything, but especially best of mobile phones. Those things are good. But God says, I'm looking for people who will get in the valley of decision and bring people out. And bring people out. And bring people out. And bring people out. Listen, they are ready to die. They are ready for condemnation. And the sad thing is that they don't have anybody. Do you know somebody is sitting at home right now confused? And just need somebody to, oh brother, come and let's go to church. Would you visit me at church today? Would you come? My pastor wants to pray for you. They are just there. They are just confused as to whether they should go or not to go. In fact, church has become so boring for them to the extent that they wish they can change their church. But who to direct them? And you come so nicely dressed, facially looking good, as if all is well. But deep inside you are hurting. All because you are not doing the right thing for God. Is somebody here with me? So the Bible says that there are many who are in the valley of what? Is somebody here today?
Yes.
There are many who are in the valley of what? How do we get them? Now let's read another scripture. Let's read another scripture. Just allow us to be very fast on this. Matthew 9, verse number 36 and 39. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter number 9, verse 36 to 39. Please help me read. Lift your hands. I want to see your eyes, please. I want to see your eyes. Everybody go. But when he saw the multitude, he was. Who saw the multitude? Why was he moved with compassion? In other words, he was moved with love. Because he was full of the Father's love. The reason why I know you don't love God, upon all your singing and all your hypocritical, look, when you hold a mic and the camera is on you and everybody is staring at you and you look, it looks like you are crying. It's fake. It's fake. Tell somebody it's fake. All that they do here, most of them are fake. Once the camera is on them and they are on Facebook Live, you see, they make up their face and they make up everything. Now, listen, the only way that I know that you love God and for your singing and your expressions before God to be acceptable is when you have compassion for the lost. Listen, if nobody comes to church, who do you sing to? So your first duty is to make sure that people are being saved. So that you can come on Sunday morning, dress nicely. Then you can lift up holy hands and be expressing. In that case, this is a genuine love. You come and sing, Lord, I love you and I live. My voice. to worship you. Oh my soul. Fake. That three people fake.
Us says, wait, I'm coming on you. Please, can you go and sit here?
The Bible says, and when he saw the multitudes, who were the multitudes? Those who were not saved. Those who were confused in life. Listen, you have friends, loved ones, people. Listen, that when you talk to them, they will respond. Even if they don't respond, you push until they heard, they respond. Jesus was moved with compassion on them because they heard. They heard. No, everybody, they heard. Do you know what it means to be fainted in life? Is to be without air. When a person is fainted, it means that the person is out of what? To breathe. Now, life for them is like they are dead. They are fainted. Nothing is working for them. You are by the grace of God. I'm telling you, you may not have gotten everything that you are expecting from God, but your life is far better. Amen. They see you and they envy you. They wish they can be like you. Is somebody here with me? So why don't you express the love that you have received? The reason why you can't tell people about Christ, you can't even invite them to church, is the fact that you don't know the love of God. You yourself haven't come to accept and receive and experience and participate the love that God has for you. Is somebody here with me? Now, how do we do this? Well, they said that fainted and were scattered abroad, and as what? Sheep having no what? Shepherd. Time will not allow me to go deeper into that. Sheep as no shepherd means that anything can happen to them. You have friends, you have loved ones. Once you see they are sick, look at how your body is shivering. Family members, when they are sick and they are admitted at Confanoche, you can't ignore it. Definitely you go and visit them. So why don't you avoid that? Why don't you help them to avoid any danger that is against them? They don't have shepherds because they don't have covering. There's no protection for them. Anything can happen to them. God is calling us into an expression of his love. Is somebody here with me? How do we do this? How do we do this? Just to be very brief on this, how do we do this? How do we do this? Are you ready for it? How do we harvest souls for the kingdom of God? Number one, by praying for the multitudes of the unsaved souls. By praying for the multitude. You pray. You pray. Anytime you go on your knees, Father, touch every soul, every person that needs salvation. Father, bring in souls into your church. Let new people come to the saving knowledge of you. As you do that, the Bible makes it clear in John chapter 16, verse number 8, that the Holy Spirit himself will convict them. One way that we harvest souls, he said that put in the sickle. The sickle is an instrument for harvest. And one instrument for harvest is prayer. It's what?
Prayer.
He said that, and when he is come, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of what? Of sin. And of righteousness and of judgment. It is the Holy Spirit that convicts people. The day you got born again, it is not the work by any person, but it is the Holy Spirit that brought the conviction. Somebody must be convicted because of your prayer. Your amen is weak. I said somebody must be convicted because of what? Your prayer. Again, how do we come into the place of harvest of souls? Number two, by personal witnessing and personal invitation. By personal witnessing, make it a point that at least you win many for Jesus. This week, as we are embarking on the Passion Week, as I said, it is the most serious week for Jesus.
And all that he's seeking to do is that the world will be hurt, will be saved. Is somebody here with me? Everything that happened, time or not, have allowed me to preach the message on the triumphant entry. But Jesus sent two men to go into, the village nearby where there were goats. There were sheep and goat tied. And he said that, go tell them that you should hurt, that the master has need of it. There are people that Jesus needs them to be here. Is somebody here with me? He wants them to be part. He wants them to be free. The Bible said that he was tired. He said that lose him and bring them unto what? Unto me. There are people that needs to be loosed out of the entanglement of life, the difficulties of life, the challenges of life. And who is to tell them? You and I. Is somebody here with me? The best gift, the best surprise, the best expression of your love to God is to win souls for God. Your singing may be good, your ushering may be good, your technical may be good, whatever you do may be good, but that doesn't touch the heart of God. The burning heart of the Father's love is that many will come to the saving knowledge of him. Is somebody here with me? So how do you do it? By witnessing, telling people Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. He has changed my life. He can change your life. If you can't give them Jesus in the street, the best thing that I believe anybody can do here is to invite them and make sure they come. Is to invite them and make sure what? They come. Well, definitely when they come, they will meet Jesus here. Somebody's blessed. Now, what are the rewards? Just to bring it to a close. What are the rewards? I have just 10 minutes to wrap up. 10 minutes to wrap up. What are the rewards? What are the rewards? What are the rewards? When we are expressing the Father's love through sacrificing. Remember last week I told you that we should follow the steps of Jesus. In following the steps of Jesus, what do we receive? What do we receive? Number one, Psalm 102 verse 13 to 15. Psalm 102 verse 13 to 15. He says, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon her, Mount Zion. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is what? Good. Go continue. And the Bible said that for thy servants, listen to that particular portion, thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. This is the work of God. Thy servant, he takes pleasure in thy stones, the work of God, and the dust thereof. Serving the Lord in the form of what? Winning souls. Is somebody here with me? It brings, number one, divine favor. Divine favor. Divine favor. You actually and automatically walk in divine favor. You don't pray for divine favor. Many of you pray for divine favor and you don't get it. You know why you don't get it? Favor doesn't come by prayer. Are you with me? Let me change your theology today. Favor doesn't come by prayer. Favor comes as a sole prerogative of God. God himself decide to favor a person. Are you understanding me? It's not your prayer that changes God's mindset to favor you. Are you understanding me? Now, if it's a sole prerogative of God, then God decides who he favors. Now, God would only favor the person who touches his heart. And what touches God's heart is souls. Are you understanding me? Stop praying for favor when you're not touching the heart of God. Because it won't work. It won't work. It won't work. From today, I pray that your mindset will change. That is weak for somebody here with me. You would rather work in touching the heart of God. rather than praying for something that you should work on. Again, John chapter 15 verse 2. He says, for every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth what? More. Wow. When you are winning souls for God, it brings you into divine preservation. Your life is preserved. Your life is preserved. Tell two people around you that your life will be preserved. Because when a branch is bearing fruit, he said that a branch, every branch in me that beareth not, he does what? He takes it away. You are a branch, remember. Are you understanding me? And the fact that your fruit bearing is your soul winning. Are you following me? Your fruit bearing is what? Your soul winning. And if you are not bearing fruit, he will take you away. You will not last. You will not last. You will just fade off like something. Is somebody here with me? But the Bible says, go back to the scripture. But the branch that beareth fruit, the Bible says that he purged it so that it may bring forth what? More. Oh, come on. May bring forth what? I pray that you will bring forth more fruit. Is somebody here with me? Stop praying for fruits. Lord, make me fruitful. When you don't want to do things, that makes you fruitful. Start bearing fruit. I said, start bearing fruit. I wonder how a couple can give birth if they are not having sex. And you come to church every morning and say, the Lord, you know, we have been married for 3 weeks. We've been married for 3 years, 4 years, 6 years. No. Hey, oh Lord. You are not working out your food bearing, and yet you are praying for what? That is an error. Tap somebody and say, that is an error. Again. What are the rewards? What are the rewards? John 15:16. I'm just sharing this and then we are done. John 15:16. Now, everybody read it. He say that, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, continue, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask, So you see why your prayers are not answered. Who can tell me why your prayers are not answered? I'm not God, but I can know that for all the prayers you are praying, if this word is anything to go by, are you understanding what I'm saying? Because the only way, the scriptures are full of many statements from other people, and but these are the words of Jesus. If you have the old King James, this will be in red letters. And he's telling you that these are the words of Jesus. That you have not chosen, but I have chosen you that you ordained to just go and bring up fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever, as you do the first, whatsoever you will ask in prayer. Amen. So you see where the delay lies. It's an example I gave yesterday. A woman I encountered at the mall the other day when I went to the woman's business fair, and this woman started recounting her deals to me. The pastor, I'm paying in your head, and yeah, wah, 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 wah. Pastor, I said, Nyanko Pong Krabu Mwayo. She told me, Pastor, I've been praying about this particular thing for many years. I've been praying with you on prayer line, but it looks like God is not what? Pastor, I'm giving up. I'm giving up. Pastor, to be frank with you, I'm giving up. There are times I don't pray because I'm what? Giving up. Come to think of it. Why is God not hearing this woman's prayer? She has taken that maybe God is not fair. No, no, no. Who told you? If you meet certain requirements and certain principles that no circumstance would he deny you what you need. There are times he decides to favor you or come to you with his mercy and give you even when you have not worked for it. That is his own prerogative. Is somebody with me? But there are certain, you must work your way to what? Answered prayer. You must work your way. There are certain things. You see, if you are to wait for God's own mercy, then there are times he decides. So, he wants you in a particular direction, but you are moving towards another direction, and yet you want mercy and favor to meet you there. It doesn't work like that. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? But there are certain things you do. You work it out. I want everybody to put this in work. You can try this. Stop praying about your knees for a moment and start winning souls and see if God will not meet you right there at the point of your need. There are many testimonies I would have shared, but for the sake of time, many who took on the activities of harvesting souls and everything. Some got houses, some got total healing. I mean, and strange testimonies were happening to them, all because they worked their way to answered prayer. Is somebody here with me? Let me tell you, there's a protocol to prayer. There's what? You can't just walk in here and come and stand here. No. Before you get to the car park, if you brought your car, somebody will be there to direct you, park here. And the person will be monitoring. Before you get to the gate, Adam will be there. Before you start moving, because they will be watching you. As you get a question, there are protocols before God. Before you go and say, Lord, I need this, I need, there are protocols. Is somebody here with me? So, but if you don't know, you just think that every prayer is a prayer. Who told you? One of the protocols to prayer is that when you are winning souls, God automatically answers your what? Your prayer. May the Lord answer your prayer. As you are obedient to the word of God, may you bring forth fruit, especially expressing the love of the Father. He said, behold, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us? Somebody is blessed. Come on, be on your feet. Let a church say.
We trust that you've been blessed with the word of God. We would like to have you worship with us at Miracle Manor Church, Top High, off Tech Junction Road, behind Love FM. Call us on 0244-991294 or 0209-959090. Miracle Manor Church, manna fed, manna satisfied.